Pakistan's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom has criticized the U.S. for indiscriminate killings in the so-called war on terror in the country.
Simple. Americans are using indiscriminately their drones to hit the what they call high-value targets. They've killed so many other people. So many civilians have lost life at the by drone attacks. So if
they have their... Hassan made the remarks in an exclusive interview with Press TV's Yvonne Ridley. He also acknowledged that the U.S. is conducting extrajudicial killings of the civilians in his country. He added that there has been a request for a probe into the killings. The Pakistani diplomat said the government in Islamabad has asked Washington to stop killing innocent civilians. Since August of 2008, nearly 1,000 people have died in about 100 raids by American drones. More Israeli provocation ahead of scheduled direct talks with the Palestinians. Israel's foreign minister says settlement activities on occupied Palestinian land should restart in September.
And Maghar, that's when a 10-month moratorium on settlement building in the West Bank is due to end. Victor Lieberman says there is no reason why building should not restart after the end of the freeze. This is while the Palestinians have repeatedly threatened to walk away from talks if Israel announces new settlements and the moratorium ends. The U.S. brokered talks between the Palestinian Authority and Israel are scheduled to begin in early September. Lieberman played down the possibility of reaching a deal within 1 year, saying disagreements between the two sides run too deep.
A former CIA officer has accused the Israeli intelligence agency of stepping up its activities in the United States. Philip Giraldi says Tel Aviv's claims of not spying in the U.S. are just intended for the media. Giraldi believes Mossad targets the U.S. intensively, particularly for military and dual-use civilian technology. He says the Israeli lobby is so powerful that Washington cannot come down hard on Tel Aviv on the issue.
Particularly when it's appearing in the Murdoch papers. So those were the things that came together. And I
the Israeli lobby, AIPAC being the leading organization in that lobby, is very effective and very powerful in the United States, has a great deal of influence over Congress, a good deal of influence also over the White House, and is very effective at controlling the message that goes out to the media. And the media has basically been compliant with this, has not challenged it, except in places, for example, where I write, the alternative media, over the Internet and places like that, where these issues are discussed much more freely.
Well, relations between the two allies have been damaged on such issues. In 2008, the U.S. arrested an old American suspected of spying for Israel. Ben-Ami Kadish had given Israel secrets on nuclear weapons, fighter jets, and missiles in the 1980s. The case was linked to the Jonathan Pollard spy scandal that rocked U.S.-Israeli relations.
The WikiLeaks website has published a CIA memo which analyzes the risk posed by terrorists operating in the United States. The memo also examines the implications of Americans being recruited by extremist elements and the U.S. being used as a base for attacks abroad. One of the main themes of the paper is that the American export of terrorism is not a recent phenomenon. The document also proposes that violent actions are not associated with religious radicals, nor with people of African nor Middle Eastern origins. WikiLeaks has been the subject of global attention ever since it released some 77,000 secret military documents about the Afghan war. The website is expected to publish another 15,000 records about the war in the coming weeks.
A human rights group has urged the U.S. government to protect foreigners against sexual abuse after they are detained under anti-immigration laws. Human Rights Watch has warned that the White House needs to ensure justice for immigration detainees. The group has released a report which describes documented incidents of abuse and harassment. The report advises U.S. officials to swiftly improve their oversight of the entire detention system. The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has also been urged to get new rules in place and ensure compliance with the regulations.
A newly released report has claimed that the 44th president of the United States is a CIA creation. American investigative journalist Wayne Mattson says Barack Obama as well as his family, including his parents, stepfather, and grandmother, had connections with the CIA.
America, tonight, if you feel the same energy that I do, if you feel the same urgency that
An exceptional orator, promise for the disillusioned, and change from the status quo. These are all what helped Barack Obama to become president 2 years ago. But now the reality seems to be something far from that. And what is being called a bombshell, investigative journalist Wayne Madsen has revealed in a report that in 1983, President Obama worked for the Business International Corporation, which was a CIA front. The company used to conduct seminars with the world's most powerful leaders as agents abroad with CIA espionage activities. Madsen says this intelligence connection runs in Obama's family. Obama's maternal grandmother, Madeline Dunham, was one of the first female vice presidents of the Bank of Hawaii in Honolulu. The report says this bank was also a CIA front for funneling money to oppressive dictators and rulers, such as former Indonesian President Suharto, who came into power through a CIA-backed coup. In the 1960s, Obama's father had been selected by the leader of Kenyan African National Union, Tom Mboya, to receive scholarship and be airlifted to the University of Hawaii. CIA files indicate that Mboya was an important agent of influence for the agency. The airlift was a CIA operation to train future agents of influence in Africa, which was a battleground between the U.S., the Soviet Union, and China for influence. As a Kenyan student in the University of Hawaii, Obama's father, who was already married and had a child with another on the way in Kenya, met Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, in a Russian class in Hawaii. This meeting eventually led to their marriage. Barack Obama's mother, Dunham, was divorced when his son was four. She married Lolo Satoru after meeting him at the East-West Center at the University of Hawaii, the center affiliated with CIA activities in the Asia-Pacific region. She worked for Tim Geithner's father, Peter, at the Ford Foundation, widely believed to be a CIA front. Now Madsen is questioning that if Barack Obama, as is suspected, was subjected to the CIA project, either by brainwashing or being part of it, then it'll become problematic for an American president. He says if Obama has been brainwashed, then he can be controlled, and if he was simply part of this project, then he can be bribed.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Pakistan criticizes indiscriminate killing of individuals by U.S. drones.
Americans are using indiscriminately their drones to hit their what they call high-value targets. They've killed so many other people. So many civilians have lost life by drone attacks.
Israel promises to build more settlements in occupied lands ahead of U.S.-sponsored talks with the Palestinian Authority. And a former CIA officer says Israel's intelligence agency is intensively targeting the U.S.
In the second half of the show, we're going to be telling you about the heat wave in Lebanon and its impact on the country's agriculture. That and more. The new British government's austerity budget has been heavily criticized by fiscal experts as unfairly targeting the poorest families, particularly families with children. Farina Alam is in London.
When the UK's new coalition government came to power in May, they inherited the largest national debt in this country's peacetime history. In response, sweeping cuts to public spending were announced, including a reduction in essential services, welfare spending, and public sector jobs.
This budget is needed to deal with our country's debts. This budget is needed to give confidence to our economy. This is the unavoidable budget. And I am not going to hide hard choices from the British people or bury them in the small print of the budget document. The British public are going to hear them straight from me here at this dispatch box. Yeah.
The government described the budget as progressive and fair, but upon closer analysis, some of the country's leading experts say it's anything but.
The Chancellor said the budget was progressive and showed a chart that showed the richest 10% of households losing more as a percentage of their income than the poorest 10%. However, he was only looking at reforms to come in over the next 2 years. When you also add in the reforms that are due to come in until 2014, the position's reversed. The richest are losing less as a percentage of their income than the poorest.
The IFS say the new budget contrasted sharply with the so-called progressive plans inherited from Labour, under which the richest 10% of households bore the brunt of the cuts. The Treasury has categorically rejected the IFS findings, saying it is selective, ignoring the pro-growth and employment effects of budget measures, such as helping households move from benefits into work and reductions in corporation tax.
I don't really understand the government's criticism of this report. They're saying that we should have included more measures, but actually we're including more measures than they did in the distributional analysis in the budget.
The budget has also come under fire from the country's leading women's rights group. Earlier this month, Fawcett Society launched what is believed to be the first legal challenge against a British government budget. They say that because the spending cuts will affect women disproportionately, it amounts to discrimination. Critics have also accused Nick Clegg, the Deputy Prime Minister, who hails from the Liberal Democrat Party, of betraying his roots and covering up for an old-fashioned Tory budget. Clegg insists, however, that the IFS report is deeply flawed. Farina Alam, Press TV, London.
Well, an unprecedented heatwave is having a devastating impact on Lebanon's agriculture and farmers' livelihood. Press TV's correspondent Altaf Ahmad has this report from the south of Lebanon.
As temperatures have been unusually high in Lebanon, with the thermometer registering 47 degrees centigrade, fears are rising that the country may already be feeling the knock-on effects of global warming. If the hot weather is part of that global trend, then the country will have to brace itself for longer-term climate changes sooner than anticipated. And as many people in southern Lebanon depend on agriculture and related activities, the change in weather conditions has affected their livelihood. Farmers are complaining of withered, stunted crops and lower yields. The dairy and beef cattle, as well as other farm animals, have felt the heat too. And this in turn has negatively affected the food processing industries.
When it is hot, animals stop eating. They also lose a lot of weight and stop producing milk.
Animals eat less food in higher temperatures. That's why the quality of milk deteriorates and becomes low in protein. We cannot take care of the animals because it's impossible to work in this heat.
Despite technological advances such as improved varieties, genetically modified organisms and irrigation systems, yields for many crops are bound to decline in such exceptionally hot weather.
It's decreasing a lot and the water resources in Lebanon, especially rivers, wells, thus most of agriculture, which uses around 70% of the water on available water, is going to go down. The plants, for example, you can see maybe 70% drop in yield due to this climate change and high increase in temperature.
The temperature rise, if proved to be a sustainable process, may lead to droughts, which can dramatically change the living patterns of people in this part of Lebanon. But as farmers here say, high temperatures are not the only culprits behind their problems. They point the finger, rightly or wrongly, at the war of 2006 with Israel, saying the yield has come down ever since. Experts have tried to find a better explanation for this. They say the use of internationally forbidden weapons by the Israelis in that war contaminated the soil and that Israel diverts much of the water from the Wazani and the Hasbani River, thus leaving the Lebanese farmers without enough water to irrigate their fields. The South Lebanese farmers are paying a huge price for this temperature rise and heat wave, a price they can't afford. And so their primary prayer in this holy month of Ramadan is for this problem to resolve itself as soon as possible. Altaf Ahmed, Press TV, South Lebanon.